If you have your Bibles tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning reading at verse 1 through verse 3. Deuteronomy, Old Testament. Glory to God. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuter. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning of verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Praise God.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes here this evening on we need more than what we think we need. Praise God. We need more than what we think we need. Praise God. And God knows how to teach us that we need more than what we think we need. He knows how to teach us what we really need, especially when we have forgotten. Praise God. Lord, bless your word tonight. Bless our hearing, our understanding. Help us, Lord, to be ministered to by the word of God and cause this service, Lord, to end up, Lord, in great victory and praise and strength and knowledge in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm going to read verse 3 again before we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because there's something in this that it's one of those things that you repeat, you read it again because you're like, huh? And you read it again. You ever read a verse of scripture that kind of made you go, huh? Let me read that a little closer.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of squint. Did I read that right? Because as people, we can have preconceived ideas about God and about the Word of God. And many in the realm of theology feel that the Word of God is subject to the opinions and the viewpoints of those reading it, not realizing that the Word of God is way beyond personal viewpoints or interpretations, that it is much greater than that. And that they need something more than what they think they need. They need more than intellectual study of the Word of God. We need divine interaction when it comes to the Word of God. Because the Word of God, the Scripture says, the things of God are spiritually discerned. They're not carnally discerned. So our intellect alone will not figure this book out. God will use our intellect. He will talk to our minds. And we can study, we can memorize, we can hold knowledge, as with any topic or subject. But as far as the Word of God is concerned, in order for us to understand and to receive the revelation, we need to receive something that comes from God. That's why it's called revelation. That's why with all you're getting, get understanding. So if I'm needing to get understanding, it means that I alone don't have the understanding, so I need to go to the source that can give me the understanding that I don't have, so that I can have what I really need.
Amen,
amen. And that is an understanding of the Word of God. He said concerning, now this is Moses' kind of last words. This whole book is about Moses sort of signing off as he relinquishes his post and gives it to Joshua, as Joshua is going to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, because Moses was not going. He was going to stay and die in the mountain and not be able to go in. Because of his smiting the rock issue, which was the way it was. God said, because you've done this, you know, you'll see the land, but you're not going to go in. So he's here giving them the final thoughts, the final warnings, the final blessings, the final cursings, the final sort of sermon, if you will. It's Moses' sermon on the mount, so to speak, and giving them a word from the Lord to remember as they're ending 40 years of being in the wilderness. And he's reminding them of some things, that he humbled you, verse 3, and he allowed you to hunger. And that's some of You know, that's some of those things that you look again and say, did it just say that? That he allowed them to hunger. He allowed them to go through some things. Now, they themselves were testing him and proving him and trying the Lord with their temptations and their grumblings and their murmurings and their complainings in the wilderness. They had enough of their own, but it was God. God knows how to take us through and prove us. And some things that we go through, we can say by the word of God, he's allowing us to go through it. That word suffer means allow, but there's something a little extra. It's kind of like the word allow, the definition of the word allow. You know, if you translate King James, the word suffer, like suffer the little children to come to me, means let them come, don't forbid them. So that word suffer isn't like suffer as in pain, suffer. It is, you know, let or allow. But here in some of these verses, when you read the word and he suffered you to hunger, it's kind of like the definition of allow, but with a little salt added to it. Because there's purpose behind the allow. It's not God just watching you go hungry. But remember, when they were wandering into the wilderness and they were traveling, a couple of million people and all their gear and everything that they had, they went hungry and they got thirsty. And so they were learning in this process that it wasn't all about the water that they needed. It wasn't all about the food that they were craving, because they started grumbling. We had all these flesh pots in Egypt. We ate, we drank, we had plenty, but now we're out here in the wilderness and we're suffering. Right? Easy for us, if we're not careful, to think, to look at the walk with God on the negative side of things because we lack. Or because we're going through a time where it's the Lord trying us. It's the Lord teaching us how to lean on him and how to trust in him. How it's better to put your trust in the Lord than to put trust in princes. It's better to put your trust in the Lord than to trust in chariots, right? It's better to put your trust in the Lord than to trust in your own bank account and the food in your cupboards, praise God. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna. He showed you that he's got you. He'll take care of you. If you trust in him, you'll never be ashamed for trusting in him. You will say, like David said in Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. That's a big statement on King David's part, since a good part of his life was spent running from a king, being hunted like a flea, on the run, looking for his next meal, yet he could say, after all of those events, I have been young and I'm now old, and I've never been forsaken by the mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never seen any of his people forsaken. Hallelujah. Glory. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, I fed you with manna, which you didn't know, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only. Now, Jesus repeated these words, didn't he? When he was fasting and he was in a weakened state, and Satan came and said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus said, it is written. And he's quoting this verse of scripture. I don't need to have bread. And I definitely don't need your bread. And I don't need you to tell me how to get bread. I need the word of God. And that's what we need. And so he's in a wilderness for 40 days. So there's lots of similarities where he's stepping into a plateau of temptation for a period of time that's almost symbolic of a wandering time in the wilderness. 40 has a lot of significance, right? Rain 40 days and nights. There's a lot of things Jesus was doing and overcoming in that wilderness for 40 days, fasting and being tempted. And then reminding the enemy, we need to live for God. Right. We need the word of God. Yes. And we need to worship only God. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we can go through what we go through in life and learn those three lessons, that I need the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a light unto my path. Praise God. And that I need to live for God. I don't need to tempt the Lord. I need to worship God and serve him wholeheartedly. Then we will have learned a valuable lesson no matter what we go through. Amen. Hallelujah. We will have learned that I just need God, because that's all I need. I need God in the midst of it all. Let all the noise die down. Let the pain die down. Let the debts die down. Let all the circumstances of life, let the cares of life settle to the ground. At the end of it all, I need God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's the victory we have when we all go through things once in a while. Tribulation doesn't always last all the time. It doesn't last all the time, right? Troubles don't last always. But they come. And when they come, will they separate you from the love of God? How deep is your walk? Jesus wants more than puddle deep Christians. Amen. He wants ocean deep Christians. Praise God. He wants depth in your life. And the only way to do that is to walk with him and let him teach you how to lean on him and how to trust him, even if things get lean. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's, you know, that's something we all have to accept, is that not every circumstance in life is us and not everyone is God, but there are some times when it is God. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Praise God. God's so good. Would you love him a moment? Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's so good. He's so good. Brother Art, mute me a second while I pop this back on. Thank you, Lord. So 2 Timothy, we're going to go to chapter 3. See, what it means to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, if they had that mindset in the wilderness, they would have trusted. Look, it's not as if they didn't just walk through a Red Sea. It's not as though they didn't see 10 plagues rained upon Egypt. Right, they were there. They saw this with their own eyes. They walked through the sea on dry ground with walls of water standing on a heap on either side of them. God gave them plenty of information and experience to say, you know what, if we're a little hungry, God's going to see us through. Praise God, instead of grumbling, murmuring, and complaining. Hallelujah. And we're all going to have the opportunity in the midst of circumstances to either complain or give him praise. Amen. To either fall and say, I'm not going to go to church tonight. Praise God. Or trust him and say, he will work it out. He will make a way. There's one thing I need. If I'm hungry, I'm going to church because I definitely need the word of God. If there's no food at home, fine. I need food for my soul. So it is a thing of trust, and that's what gives birth to man shall not live by bread alone. It's something we learn. It's not just something we read. It's not something we quote. We learn a dependency on the word of God, and that's a good dependency. Some people like to be so independent, you know. You know, I don't need nobody. You know, got me, you know. Yeah, but Isaiah 40 does teach that even you get weak and weary. But they that wait upon the Lord. Always comes back to the Lord. If I can wait upon God, I'll renew my strength. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You want to find a real child of God? Find one that's living by every word, that's open to every word, that's humble to every word. Praise God. Find a child of God that's not just sold on John 3:16 or Romans 10, 9 and 10 or Genesis 1 and 1 or even some of us Acts 2:38 alone. Although, yes, that's a potent and powerful and needed scripture, but every word of God. I need all of God. Ephesians 6, take upon you the whole armor of God, not part of the armor, but take upon you all of God. Amen. Be clothed with the armor of God, the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. I need all of God, not some of God. I need all the scripture, not some of the scripture. I need all the word because it's only God that knows how to interpret all the word, and it takes all the word. I don't need the verses I think I know well and that I understand. If you find yourself in life grumbling and complaining, with Scripture against other Scripture, you are not quite living as somebody that's living by the whole Word of God. You have missed something somewhere in your understanding. And with all you're getting, get understanding. And there are some in this life that only feel that Scripture can be intellectually interpreted, that divine intervention is not real. I don't know where these people come from. Don't know what side of the bed they fell out of. But there's plenty of Word of God that lets us know we need God's help with this. Amen. We need God, and we need every Word of God to help us live for God. Don't try to live for God without the Word of God. You know why preachers say, read, make sure you get your face in that Word of God. It's because you're obtaining knowledge that your soul needs so that you can live right. And you can know how to do it. You can know how to be victorious. You can know how to conquer, overcome, make good decisions, grow, have a thriving life. Hallelujah. How not to be deceived. You get in the Word of God. That's why he gave us, if he preserved 66 books, at least read them. At some point, that's why they're there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not some of it, all of it. That's what I'm pressing into your heart tonight. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word shall man live, praise God. All Scripture. If we can get it in our hearts, a hunger. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, after the things of God, you'll be filled. But don't pick and choose. Hunger after all of it. Isn't that right? Not just the Scriptures you like and the ones you don't like. Hunger after all of it. And all of it will guide you and teach you. Amen? Because the Spirit is life. And we know Jesus testified that his Spirit would lead and guide us into what? All truth. Let me say this. The Holy Ghost will never violate his word. You know, we've had people in times past, well, I got the Holy Ghost and I don't see that. Well, then you should step in front of the mirror and examine whether you have the real Holy Ghost or not. The Holy Ghost will never refuse water baptism in Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost will never refuse ceasing from sin and overcoming the world. Anytime you touch a topic that people don't want to discuss because it violates the lifestyle that they want to live and yet claim to be Christian, all you're revealing is the fact that you're not living by every word. You're living by some of the stuff he's saying and how you want to live according to his word. But it doesn't work that way. And thank God it doesn't work that way. Amen. Thank God if we do things, all things according to his will, there's power on the side of doing things according to his word. Praise God. Even Peter said, I'll let down the net according to thy word. He didn't say, well, I'm going to do it the way I think it needs to be done because, P.S., you're a carpenter, I'm the fisherman. But Jesus said, let down your nets for a draw. And whether he wanted to or not at that moment, because he obeyed the word of God. Nevertheless, at your word. See, we need that humbleness of heart. God, whatever you have for me, whatever your word says, whatever you want me to do. Amen. Praise God, praise God. And we know the result of that in Luke 5. In Acts chapter 9, what did Saul of Tarsus say? He'd been beating up the people of God, throwing them in prison, committing them to death. Held the coats of those that stoned Stephen in Acts 8. What do we read in the Word of God? That finally, on the road to Damascus, a great light shined round about him. God stopped him in his tracks. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, I can imagine his thoughts. Uh-oh. He said, well, who are you, Lord? He got astonished real quick. I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Now, there's only one God. There's not another. So the second person wasn't replying. He said, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Jehovah God? Because Jews believed in one God. Amen. And that one God said, I am Jesus. What is your problem? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. See, he'd been hearing, he'd been listening, and he'd been hardening his heart against the word of God that he was hearing. Closing his heart. I don't want to hear that. These are zealots. These are just another crazy radical group inside the Jews' religion, and I'm going to stamp out these Nazarenes. And that's how it was looked back in that time, the sect of the Nazarenes. And they were going to stamp them out. He was just in full fury. Letters from the chief priests going to Damascus, they could bind any of that way until the Lord stopped him. What stopped him? Every word of God. Praise God. Someone who thought he was doing God a service. Someone who thought he was living right. Someone who thought his zeal for God, I'm going to stamp out these crazy people because they're not of the true religion. That's the true religion. That's the Jews' religion. But then a light. Because when you have every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, you find the true light. Amen. And you find the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you're willing to obey God and let every word that proceeds from the mouth of God be your word, then you will find that light and it will shine round about you. Glory. And it will open your eyes even if it has to blind them for a season. Amen. Praise God. And he was astonished. And he said these words, Lord, what would you have me do? Finally got to a point, what would you have me do? And the only way that you or I are ever going to see is when we're willing to humble ourselves and say, Lord, what would you have me do? No matter what you believe about God, when you surrender to every word, when you surrender to all Scripture, you surrender to all Scripture. Stop avoiding Acts 2:38. It's Scripture. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that right? Isaiah 43:10 is one God. It's Scripture. Praise God. God was manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. It's Scripture. It's Scripture just like John 3:16 is Scripture. Praise the Lord. All Scripture. I'm going to be saved. You're going to be saved because we said, Lord, I want all Scripture. Praise God. I want it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Jesus does things in an all way, doesn't he? It's all or nothing, praise God. We can't tell the Lord what we want to believe. We don't have the right to. I don't tell the Lord, I'll obey this, but I won't obey that. It doesn't work that way. All Scripture counsels us. We don't counsel all Scripture. Come, let us reason together, Isaiah chapter 1. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. When we reason with God, we say, what would you have me do? That's our reasoning. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then he tells us what to do, and that's how the conversation goes. Because if we're to get to what he's bringing us to, that manna that comes from God. Oh, God, I don't want to miss the manna. I don't want to miss the experience of the water from the rock because I'm murmuring and I'm complaining and I'm not trusting, praise God, and I'm not willing to submit to all Scripture. All Scripture tears up Egypt. All Scripture opens up a Red Sea. All Scripture, praise God, causes manna to fall from heaven. All Scripture opens up a rock and water gushes out and gives water to 2 million people. All Scripture, praise God, causes miracles and wonders and signs. All Scripture brings healing. All Scripture brings salvation. All Scripture brings a sinless walk with God that's holy and righteous and blameless. All Scripture. All Scripture proves that he's one God and not a triune deity. All Scripture. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. I need all Scripture. I need all of it. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Given by inspiration of God. So I don't want to tell the Lord the things that have come from his inspiration I don't need. Let's turn to Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm finishing here in a few minutes. Just give me a moment. Just here to talk about our need for every word of God. Hallelujah, every word of God. Could you grab me that puzzle? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old, not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, when it testifies no prophecy of the Scripture, because most of what's written in just in the canon of Scripture known as the First Covenant was from prophecy, from men of God that spoke the Word of God. And they spoke the Word of God, and then it was recorded. And they spoke by the Holy Ghost. They didn't speak by another spirit. They spoke by the Spirit of God, and the Word came from God, and it got recorded, and we have epistles, or books, as they call them, where the Word of God is. And the Apostle Peter is saying that no prophecy of the Scripture, no Word of God, is of any private, self-induced, on your own personal interpretation of it. No Scripture is of that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is where we learn that the things of God are spiritually discerned and they're also spiritually interpreted. If it's not of private interpretation to where we're left to figure it out on our own, then it must be that it's the Lord that will interpret. That it's what the Word of God says, that's what the Word of God says. God does not leave the Word of God for us to figure out on our own, as so many have done, and so many have arisen to be false prophets, as he continues to say in chapter 2, teaching heresies and teaching all sorts of stuff, because you have human minds that are reasoning spiritual things. When you're carnal, that means you're not converted. Or if you were converted and you've become carnal, you've become insensitive to the spiritual things of God, you've become sinful again. And man, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It cannot please God, Romans chapter 8. It takes newness of life. It takes a spiritual mind that we obtain through conversion to be able to begin to soar through the Word of God and begin to understand the Word of God as God reveals himself to us, because this Scripture is God. It's the Word. It's his dealings with his children over thousands of years. And in these things, no matter how many natural things there are going on, are boatloads of understanding and revelation and things that come from God to us that are sealed from the carnal mind. I bought a puzzle because I keep talking about how the Word of God is like a great puzzle, and I wanted to buy a puzzle so I could demonstrate the fact. And this is a Thomas Kincaid painting. I don't know if you can see that all too well, but it's a nice one. Lots of great color. Now this is a 300 puzzle. And it's got a nice archway and a nice cottage. A lot of his paintings are that way. So there's 300 pieces in here, and every one of these are required to make this on the box. Common sense, right? If I leave anyone out, the picture's incomplete. If I leave any Scripture out, it's incomplete. Because I need all Scripture. So if this was to become a picture of the plan of redemption, it requires every piece of the puzzle. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Because the reason we have Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 is because all of it involves the redemption of fallen man. Praise the Lord. And God's dealing with fallen man. All of it. Every single, no matter what you don't understand or you do understand, all of it, all the natural things and 39 epistles of the Old Testament and all 27 epistles of the New Testament, all of it points to Jesus, Calvary, the resurrection, and eternal glory, escaping the world of sin, all of it does. And to leave anyone out makes us negligent. Knowing this, and no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. But what we have in our world today is we have people who are like, let me get some mix of colors here. Yeah, I like this. purples, lots of purples. There's a lot of purple in that. Bear with me a moment. It's going to grab a few colors here. What we have people today doing is they're plucking out their little favorite piece of the puzzle. And they're interpreting it. This is how they interpret it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But when you put the puzzle back with the rest of the pieces, all of a sudden that verse changes a little. Should not perish. I had a man, again, I told you, right in my face in the pulpit. Shall not. I said, should not. Shall not. Shall not. He won't perish. He won't perish. If he believes, he believes. He believes. What are they doing? They're grabbing, they don't like what I said. See, some people grab a verse of scripture and say, you know, I don't like the green ones. But I like the purple ones. And then they interpret the purple, and it's not the true purple. They water it down, so now it's bleached. But if you can't put the bleached piece in the puzzle, it'll take away from the color scheme. And do the same thing with Romans 10, 9, and 10. What does the scripture say? If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. It doesn't say that the way they say it. Just accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You're saved. If you just accept the Lord, he'll automatically come in to be saved. You don't have to be baptized. That's works. Because they go and they grab Ephesians chapter 2 with no understanding, pluck it out of the box, and go, well, see, the scripture says it's not a works. I don't have to do anything to be saved. Jesus did all. And when we want to go back to the box and say there's 299 pieces in that box, and you need all the 299 with that one that you're misquoting to make the picture. Right. No, it's not true. But the scripture says, not only do we need every piece of the puzzle, but no piece of the puzzle is of a private interpretation. It's just got to go together the way it is. Hallelujah. His plan of redemption, his salvation plan, it's he that has made us, not we ourselves. I cannot alter the color scheme of what's on that box. It's already printed. It's already here. It's already in the box. What I just need to do is put it together. Every piece, put it together. Amen. Hallelujah. I need to stop doing this. I don't need these. And I don't need that. And I don't need these. I'm saved just like I am. Happens all the time. This is why, look, this is what the world does. Our faith, that's our faith. We believe that. Well, our church believes this. Well, we believe this, and it's been like this for 300 years. My great-great-great-great-greats believed this. Yeah, we heard that too. That's all. Well, what about the other pieces? The box says 300, and you're holding up 10. Reminds me of 52-card pickup. That's what I was thinking. I'm finishing here tonight. I don't need to belittle the point, but sometimes an illustration can help get it in our hearts a little deeper, that if we're going to live for God the way God wants us to live for God, we got to do it God's way. He didn't ask me to reinvent salvation. It's already here. This book, let's say this book is this. It's already there. I just need to be involved. I need to get excited about opening the box and dumping it on the table and just putting it together. It doesn't matter how much you don't understand at the moment. What he's wanting you to do is just jump into his all scriptures given by inspiration of God and just start putting it together. Don't tell him what you don't need and chuck it off the table. I don't like pink. Well, that's a little too blood red for me. Well, purple was never my favorite color. No, he wants you to get excited about every word and excited about not trying to interpret it yourself. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. I need him. We have the Holy Ghost because we need an interpreter. Who knows what to do with the purple pieces and the green pieces and the pink pieces and the yellow pieces and the pieces with the stone wall on it that the church downtown don't like. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, by every piece in the puzzle. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. When you're praying, don't try to alter the will of God. Just pray according to the picture on the box. Praise God. Give me what's on the box. Give me every word that's on the box. Teach me how to trust you. When it doesn't go my way, I will not throw pieces out of the box. Would you love him tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, what would you have me do? Praise God, what would you have me do? And he did exactly what he was told to do. And when Prisca and Aquila found Apollos, and Apollos was mighty in scriptures, knowing only the baptism of John. The scripture says that they expounded unto him the other 295 pieces of the puzzle. And he was converted, became a mighty teacher in the church in the first century, Brother Apollos. John the Baptist's disciple. But he didn't know about the Holy Ghost. He didn't know, but they hung around and said, man, you're doing all right, but there's some other pieces you need. And expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. I'm not apologizing for what we know. I'll apologize to no one. I won't be mean-spirited, but I apologize to no one. You need every piece of the box. You need every piece of the puzzle. Every Baptist needs every piece. Every Catholic needs every piece. Every Pentecostal needs every piece. Every Charismatic needs every piece. Everyone, even the people that are in these churches today telling us that we're not true people of God if we don't love everybody and accept everybody the way they are, including those who are living with the same sex and all that. Look, you're trying to interpret a piece of the puzzle. The love of God will never condone same sex. I'm listening to preachers teaching, saying, no, if we were real Christians, we would forgive school debt. Where did these people come from? We would love the LBGQ TV community and just let them know that, and God does love them. He loves every single one of them. He don't love what they do, but he loves their soul enough that he sent a Savior for him. The true love of God will say, I love you, but repent. Because what you're doing is wrong. You can accuse us of teaching wrong, but it's you that are teaching wrong. We're not teaching it wrong. You don't love when you don't tell the truth. Hallelujah. So if you're here today and you just want to give God some glory for all scripture, let's do that right now. I'm done. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, happiness is found only when we submit to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Holy Ghost comes from the mouth of God. He breathed on them. Hallelujah, and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't shy away from the promise of the Holy Ghost. It's a part of every piece of the puzzle. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's love him. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. He's so good. He's so good. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus. Praise God here tonight. Thank you, Lord. As soon as I get the one on the tip of my brain, praise God. Amen. 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 God, we amen every piece. We amen all scripture. Amen. 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 Glory one more time. Say this before you go. Saul, whom we know as Brother Paul, Saul is Hebrew name, Paul is Roman name, he was kicking against every word of God. He was fighting. He was fighting against what was reaching for him and decided that he was going to be injurious. He was going to be a terrorist to the church of God. So when the Lord spoke to him and said, it's hard for you, I say to you tonight, please, your life is going to be a whole lot better when you stop kicking and you start receiving. You'll never be happy. You'll never have the peace. You'll never know. You'll never come to a level of understanding and comprehension until you ingest every word and you just humble yourself and yield to all scripture. No one should ever be baptized in Jesus' name in defense. Because they're being heckled. True water baptism, true Holy Ghost experience should be received because you just give yourself, you yield yourself to all and every scripture and every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God because you say, I want this. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what God's looking for. I want this attitude. And then he's going to give you everything. If you remain hesitant and step backish, you're going to have trouble. I just promise you right now, you're going to have trouble. Until you just give in, amen, stop attacking the truth, amen. And start living it. Amen? Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.